Did you know 1 in 3 women have experienced abuse in their lifetimes? And 1 in 3 teens have already experienced unhealthy and abusive relationships?
We're talking about domestic abuse today and issues that the church are just not paying attention to. I'm with Dr. Brooke Jones on this special episode of Conversations with Christians Engaged. Welcome to the Conversations with Christians Engaged podcast. I'm your host, Bunny Pounds, the president of Christians Engaged. This ministry exists to awaken, motivate, educate, and empower ordinary believers in Jesus Christ to do 3 things. To pray for our elected officials and our nation regularly, to vote in every election to impact our culture, and to engage in some form of civic education or involvement for the well-being of our nation.
I'm so thankful, Bunny, for what you do. A lot of people talk the talk, but you really walk the walk.
I love it, love it. Love teaming up with you, Bunny. So excited about what you're doing and the people you're reaching.
And I will stand and lock arms with this woman of God, Bunny Pounds, any day of the week.
Bunny, you are a new hero of mine.
America is worth it. Now is the time. America needs your involvement. Please take our pledge to pray, vote, and engage. Join with a movement of other Christians that are doing these 3 simple things that can really impact this nation. Join us. Hey everybody, Bunny Pounds here. Another conversation with Christians Engaged. Man, this has been deep. The end of the year, and we're talking about issues that the church is not paying attention to. I hate the idea that the body of Christ, sometimes we get disconnected from things that are happening in our culture. And to be quite frank, we get a lot really religious sometimes, and we're not even addressing the needs in our congregations and the people that we're around. I was just reading an autobiography from a really big Bible teacher in our country that was sexually abused when she was a child, and just the reality of what her mother went through, knowing that, and kind of the hush-hush of that situation. And it really is bringing these issues to light again to me that we have got to start talking to one another. We have to start communicating. And so I'm excited that this morning I have Dr. Brooke Jones from Stronger Women Ministries. Dr. Brooke, it's so great to be with you today.
Yeah, it's wonderful to be here. I thank you for the opportunity to talk about these issues. There are issues that we as individuals, as well as a community and the church as a body, we can do better addressing and helping those that are wounded and have had trauma in the past.
So we're talking about domestic abuse. We're talking about sexual abuse. We're going to talk about human trafficking and violence. But you have a huge background in this. And you, in 2013, started Stronger Woman as a parachurch ministry to churches and to really Christians all over the country to start providing resources and helping people bring people into healing. Can you talk about that kind of grassroots movement that started then and how it started?
Oh, yes. It's been an amazing opportunity. It actually began out of my own experience with domestic violence, domestic abuse, sexual abuse as a child, teen dating and violence. And then as I grew into an adult woman, I didn't understand abuse, the characteristics. Wow. And it led me to be in several abusive relationships. But the good news was, after I escaped all of those situations, and that's a whole podcast in and of itself, in 2006, the Lord spoke to me and he gave me the word stronger than espresso. Mm. And that, yeah, is like a very interesting origin story. And it was very clear from the beginning that the Lord wanted the church to have an opportunity to put forth a way using biblical truths that could bring survivors of abuse and violence to healing. So I began to create a program. I wrote curriculum. There were a lot of tears, a lot of healing, a lot of work with the Lord and I in anointed space. And in 2012, so many years later, I was able to publish a biblical-based curriculum for survivors to heal after domestic violence and abuse. The interesting thing is that when I started my first group, let me tell you, it took me almost a year before I could get a group started, because I was unique in talking to church leadership about domestic violence, especially at that time. There's a lot of misunderstandings about abuse and how it fits in with the church. And what happens with an individual is, if they have faith, whatever their faith is, that is typically the first place that they will turn when they find themselves in a difficult situation. It could be abuse, it could be homelessness, it could be food insecurity, but typically they turn to their house of faith, house of worship, churches. That is very common for people to turn. And at that time, nobody understood, what is that woman, you know, sharing about survivors of abuse? Because quite frankly, the church says it doesn't happen here.
Okay, let's dive into that, because we know, even, you know, I know so many Jesus-loving Christ followers are watching and watch this show, or we have people that watch us from the stream as well. But we think, you know, everybody's perfect in our churches. But we're fighting a culture war. We're fighting against the devil. You know, we have got pornography streaming into our homes. We have, you know, all this violence coming through our TV screens and our computer screens. And there's things that we're feeding on, even as believers, that then leads men and women sometimes down dark paths. Can you talk about some of the origins of that?
Absolutely. I mean, as we know historically, even from biblical stories, abuse and violence has been a part from the beginning. Mm-hmm. And we know that abuse is best kept as a secret. So when it's in the darkness and it's not out in the light, that is when the enemy can work. It can destroy a family. It can destroy an individual. It can destroy generations. And one of the things that Stronger Women, as over 10 years now, I've been working to really understand this as an issue. The Lord has made it very clear that Stronger Women is here to bring light, right? Bring out of darkness into the light abuse, to interrupt cycles of abuse. That abuse cycles in our world are systemic, they are generational, and they are spiritual. And that is really, if you can say, our BHAG, if you will, our big, holy, audacious goal is really, the Lord is saying, get out there and help as many as you can, but really bring this from the darkness out into the light, because that's where the Lord can do his work.
Wow, that's really interesting. I used to meditate a lot on Isaiah 53, that he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. Mm-hmm. And the idea of iniquities really, as sin patterns, right, passed on from generation to generation, that only the blood of Jesus and only the cross can break, and really fellowship of the believers. So many times even church leaders are putting their head in the sand, not wanting to really dive into these issues or think about how they can really help people. How do you help church pastors and leaders really start getting the tools that they need, and, you know, some of the statistics or the reality of what's probably going on in their church that they don't want to admit?
All of those things, Bunny, you've said are true. And it's been an opportunity for us at Stronger Women to provide training and education to any pastoral staff, any faith leader, any individual really that wants to be better equipped. The one thing about domestic violence is that it is, because it's in darkness, as long as we pretend it doesn't exist, we're not educating pastors or anyone who's working in ministry on how to assess domestic violence, how to respond appropriately, and what is the best course of action. Because there's many myths about abuse. Why does it happen? Who's at fault? That person's a really great person. I can't imagine that they are an abuser at home. So what happens is, when a victim comes forward, especially within a faith setting, if those are who are receiving the information are not appropriately trained, they won't recognize the simple signs and won't know how best to respond. There are biblical foundations. God abhors violence. And that person who's abusing really needs the help, but also the victim needs the help that they need. And what we've discovered in working with churches and church leaders is that the people, there's no lack of people who want to help, right? Everybody wants to help, but domestic violence work is messy. It's involved. It takes a long time. It can be frustrating. And when a person is trained to understand what the victim is going through, the systems that are set within our religion, our culture, our work places, help, it keeps that victim and their family at home in the violence, not allowing them to find the healing place.
We're talking, though, more than just having a fight or my husband and I fighting over who are we going to watch football today or Survivor, right, everybody?
Yeah.
I'm a Survivor fan. We've been watching all the archives. So, you know, we have these squabbles or we're fighting over how we're raising our kids or how where we're going to spend things. I mean, we're talking about massive verbal abuse, sexual abuse, hitting, you know, physical abuse. Can you give us some of the warning signs?
Absolutely. So it is normal in any relationship to have disagreements. That's normal. How people respond, sometimes it's not our proudest moment, okay?
Right.
I've been there myself. But when domestic violence becomes evident is when it's a pattern. It's a behavior pattern that uses very specific tactics and techniques. It is about power and control, where one person in intimate partner violence, it's a spouse or a partner, will put power and control over another person. But the tactics are they use fear, they use force, and they use manipulation. So it doesn't have to be, I'm going to hit you later. All I have to do, if I've put the right framework in place, I look across the room, I see you, and you will be instantly compliant. And you know when you get home, you're going to get it. It can be in the pew at church when they're talking about scriptures, about marriage and being obedient and being respectful. And those scriptures can be twisted in a way that I can reach over and squeeze my spouse a little tighter and know that I'm going to now be have to be more compliant. So when we have a tool that we use. It's the power and control wheel. It's a Duluth model. We can share. It's available online, and we will be happy to share with people how to use it. But we teach pastors or anyone who's not familiar to use this tool and ask the person to describe their relationship. Because, Bunny, if you're in an abusive relationship and I say, hey, are you being abused? You will automatically say, what?
No.
No, of course not. That is 99.9% the response that you'll get. But after talking with an individual about their relationship and certain descriptors, if an individual picks four or more off of that eight-section model, I know and whoever's been trained knows, proceed as if abuse is present so that they keep everyone safe.
And how much does substance abuse feed into this? Alcohol, drugs?
Yeah. Well, you know, here's the thing. A lot of times that's a myth that alcohol or drugs cause the abuse. I would tell you substance abuse is throughout all parts of our society at this point, but the abuse is already there. The tendency, the behavior that an individual will use force against someone, fear against someone, or manipulate them. So if I'm drunk or on a substance, I'm just more easily able to put those in place.
To go into your natural tendency.
To a different, right? Yes, to do an abusive mode. And so that myth that this causes it, that is not the cause of it. Abuse is the cause. Someone not knowing how to properly manage their emotions, that is the cause. That those are the issues that we will have to really help and dig into.
Wow. So when you're having a conversation with somebody that you feel like is in a domestic abuse situation, how do you counsel them? What are their first steps that you counsel them to start seeking help? You know, it doesn't necessarily mean that they leave the person or leave that relationship, but there are they have to get help. You know, it can't be just, I'm going to ignore it, correct?
Exactly. So helping someone or any individual in domestic violence, as a person, you have to understand that there has to be an identification of where they are in their sphere of care. If they're in crisis, Bunny, that is when we need to ask safety and lethality questions. We need to do safety planning, get a domestic violence shelter in place. If a person is in transition, which can be a few months or even a few years, in that case, once you've identified where they are in the help that they need, right, this is an individual who is probably looking for some ground. Something consistent, a consistent place to live, a consistent job, a consistent opportunity where they're not being pulled 1,000 places by legal matters or what have you. In that case, that's when a person can get tied to a more consistent, maybe counseling, maybe legal help, maybe working with a domestic violence shelter. Where Stronger Women comes in and how we help specifically is we are an intensive a restorative ministry that will help people who have been recently out of an abusive situation, or perhaps somebody who got out 20 plus years ago, who has never dealt with the core issue because it's domestic violence. So we have a lot of participants that join our program that are dealing with it now, after many decades of kind of keeping it locked up in a box. What happens is when they graduate through the program, they heal from wounds that are hidden. They draw closer to God and they begin to redefine their life in so many new ways.
Well, here you were, a strong Christian woman, having even dealt with this in your past. Mm-hmm. You can easily go and say, gosh, this is so embarrassing that I'm having to deal with this. Or you can take ownership of going, I'm taking ownership of my healing, and I'm pursuing Jesus for healing and pursuing the family of God and every tool I need. What I know you see believers on different parts of that spectrum, but how do you walk somebody through that, going from I'm just terrified that I have this in my life to actually realizing that God can take their story and even the situations they've gone through and turn it into a testimony?
I have seen the miracles of God in so many opportunities through Stronger Women. Really what happens is people say, well, how did the curriculum come together and how did this happen? And it was through a lot of prayer and a lot of obedience. But what happens is the Holy Spirit shows up in the framework of an individual's healing. And the Stronger Than Espresso process is a 5-step process that an individual will go through that is the pathway for them to heal. But at the end of the day, Bunny, it's really a My Red Thread story. And a My Red Thread story is God's story in
rescuing.
Our story.
Yes.
There is a red thread throughout the Bible. Right?
Yes.
You think about that crimson thread that's throughout the Bible, that is the love of God. It's Christ's love. It's the first inheritance, right? There's so many ways that that red thread is identified in the Bible. And what's become clear is every person who goes through the healing from domestic violence, and if they're clinging to the Lord in that way, they will also have their own My Red Thread story.
Wow.
Because even in the darkness of my abuse, even in the worst of it all, I came to Christ. That in that journey, I came to Christ. And truly, at the end of the day, he couldn't take that away, because there was threats of, you know, like a death threat and opportunities of that severity.
Wow.
But it came to the point in my life where even if he took that, he could never take away my salvation. And when you're in a situation where the person that loves you the most, your spouse, your life partner that's vowed to care for you, is that horrifically trying to hurt and damage you, there is a disconnect that really doesn't come back together easily. But in the journey of healing, when God comes in and he can heal those wounds, then no matter what happens as an individual like myself or any other survivor moves forward, we have what we need, because we have the Lord all around us, supporting us and just carrying us through that journey.
Wow. So we're talking to Dr. Brooke Jones. And Brooke, how do people find your website before we move on any further?
Yes, it's strongerwomen.com.
Strongerwomen.com. Mm-hmm. So even as you're listening to this, pull it up and start looking at the resources that Brooke provides through this ministry. But, you know, I know we've got a couple sets of people listening right now. We've got ones, let's start with the people that are real leaders. We have a lot of leaders listening to us that really care about this country, that care about praying, that care about civic engagement. And they're leaders in churches. They're, you know, either elders, deacons, associate pastors, senior pastors, but they're connected to the body of Christ in some way. How do you counsel them to start really having conversations with people in their church and discovering, you know, that there's some hidden things and how to pull them out? How do they get training or understanding?
Well, that's a great question. I would love to help any leader that would like to get the proper training. We've found that we've done a best practices responding to domestic violence workshop on many levels for faith leaders. Typically, the first level is just coming into awareness. What is domestic violence? Making sure that all the members of their staff, home leaders, group leaders, that they really understand signs and symptoms. And then we do another workshop that is an intensive, how to identify it, how to evaluate it, and how to best respond. Mm. So that those who are face-to-face, when that family or that woman is sitting across from you saying, I'm being abused, I don't know what to do. Does the leader in the church, does the church have a protocol? And there's protocols often for safety and security for perhaps a crisis. But now, what is that long tail of abuse and that road to recovery that's going to take that woman and that family years to overcome? And so that's a way that we can kind of come alongside and help those that are within the body of the church and those out in the community. Because the prayer covering, as I said at the beginning, we believe at Stronger Women, and this is really what God is trying to, the message he's trying to get out, that abuse is systemic, it is generational, and it is spiritual. And that is something over the last 10 years that we have discovered. And now, the next 10, we're going to work to really help get that message out. So any leader that wants to be a church that responds to the abused, give us a call. What are we saying on Sunday mornings? Right from the pulpit, what are we doing? So please reach out to us. We'd be happy to begin a partnership.
Well, and we're constantly speaking to churches in our strategic ministry partnership program and anywhere we can talk to church leaders to say we have to start talking about some of these hard issues, folks. I mean, people are dealing with it in our local churches and strong Christians. I mean, we've had situations, even Tim and I pastored house churches for years and we had a couple that we found out years later, you know, he had been sexually abusing their children, right? It's heartbreaking. Yes. It's absolutely heartbreaking for church leadership to understand that there's people that you're discipling that's in your church, that's listening to your messages or worshiping with you, that is struggling with these deep, deep places. But we have to confront it. We have to deal with it and we have to get help for us and them, right?
That's right. And if you're sitting at a church and you consider the statistics, all right, 1 in 4 have experienced physical violence, 1 in 3 other forms of abuse, like emotional, verbal, things like that. So when you're sitting in your church, start counting the number of women. Divide it by 3 or divide it by 4, whatever you want. And then you realize that is how many, not just individuals, but the family. Those children are affected, and that is where it begins. I've worked with mothers, moms, for years, and every mom, their adult daughter or teenage daughter, had already been in an abusive relationship.
Wow.
So this is an area where if we're really going to eradicate this, we are going to have to come in and attack shame. As Christians, we're going to have to attack shame as a stronghold and then begin to work abuse out of darkness into the light.
That's so good, Brooke. So before we talk to people that are struggling, let's what is the connection between domestic abuse and human trafficking? Because I know, you know, you have a lot of the women that are being trafficked or, you know, modern prostitution, right?
Right.
A lot of those have had situations in their childhood. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're seeing, you know, we know statistically that a lot of folks in the LGBTQ community mm-hmm. have struggled because they've been abused, right?
Right.
So what's the connection there, just for the general audience to understand, and then we'll dive a little bit further into folks that are hurting.
Of course. The intersection between domestic violence and many other systemic issues is critical. So domestic violence is one of the leading causes for homelessness. Mm. 64% of abortions are forced because of an abuse situation.
Wow.
Right?
Wow.
So when you think about, we've got a lot of pro-life folks here. When you think about that, are we really addressing the core issue?
Are we diving into the roots?
Exactly. And then when we look at human trafficking, it is very common for someone who's been abused and in domestic violence to be sexually exploited, to be sexually abused. That also does include having sex with other people that may or may not be your spouse. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that's part of the relationship and requirement. So human trafficking is its own issue in sense of it's a horrific crime. I would say that homes that have abuse and domestic violence leave the children more vulnerable.
Yeah.
So when we look at the statistics of a trafficking, who approaches teenagers or young people, it's when they're walking around. Maybe they've run away from home. Maybe they're just out late in a place they, you know, maybe shouldn't be. But the parents don't have that unified home unit.
Yeah.
And so what I would...
There's cracks in the foundation, but, and there's abuse happening that's causing them potentially to look for love somewhere else.
So when we talk, again, back to the core, looking at the systemic impact of abuse and what is the ripple effect in our society, and then being able to say, okay, now how do we address these other issues? So we've had, our materials have been used often for human trafficking survivors, but sometimes it's not enough because we're about domestic violence. They need something even more intensive for what they had to endure. Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and I think for some of us, it's hard that grew up with good parents or a good father. You know, I had a father that loved me, believed I could change the world. I never had any abuse in my childhood. Thank the Lord. And then, you know, I've been married 28 years to my husband, you know, in a loving relationship. We've had our ups and downs. We've had our moments like every marriage. But, you know, to be receive respect, receive unconditional love, to understand, then you're like, OK, how do I translate this into the depth of hurt that people are feeling? And I've been trying over the last few years to try to understand and to have empathy and to realize that there's a lot of hurting people out there that have experienced extreme trauma. Mm-hmm. So as we close this out, Brooke, will you talk to those people that have experienced trauma in this area and are listening to this? And this is absolutely hard for them to even listen to.
Mm-hmm.
Or they have a friend that's experiencing trauma.
Right.
Talk to them for a minute as we close out.
Absolutely. There are so many of us, and I include us in myself because I am a victim of abuse, childhood abuse, and so forth. There becomes a time when you realize that you can no longer continue. There's all this. If you're currently in a relationship, let's start with that, right?
Yeah.
If you're currently in a relationship, the way that I was I came to a place where I was completely numb, completely, basically a hollow shell of what used to be a vibrant person. It was like everything about me was gone because mm-hmm. the person abusing me had literally taken all of that. The one thing that I didn't know, first of all, was I thought I was the cause of the abuse. And because I thought I was the cause of the abuse, I thought I could change it, I could stop it, and I could make it all right.
Wow.
And the truth is because it's abuse, it is the abuser's problem. They are the ones that really need to address their behavior. As the victim, you you can't change it. You can't stop it. There's nothing you can do to please them more. And so what I would say is know that you're not alone. One of the biggest things that we find when women start coming to our courses is that they sit in a room together, or virtual now with some changes, that they realize that they were in relationship with almost the same person, even though they're very different. And that's when it begins to lose its power over them.
Yes.
And they realize that they are not alone. If you're hurting today, remember that the secret is in the darkness. That's where the abuse, if you bring it into the light, then it will have a chance for you to take that next step towards healing. So if you're in a hurting place today and you need help, please look on our website. There's a contact us form and reach out to us, and we can begin a relationship with you to start talking about how can we help you and what's your next step.
So good, Brooke. Well, let's close this out. I'm going to pray for the ministry leaders and the church leaders out there and the leaders in our community that are out there listening to us. And would you pray for the people that are struggling right now, that are the victims that need to take that first step for the grace of God to intervene in their life?
Yes, and then
we'll close out.
Happy to.
Lord, we thank you for this incredible show, God, as we have had this conversation about a very, very hard topic. But it's one that the church is just not paying attention to on so many levels. And I pray for every leader listening to me, whether they're a deacon, elder, a ministry leader, God, that they would just understand the depth of the pain and the trauma of some people in their church, that they would have empathy, that they would have the compassionate love of Jesus, but they would also be seeking for wisdom and discernment and how to bring the gospel in life into these situations. God, help them, God, to prioritize this issue. Help them to navigate it. It's so hard, and help them to reach out for help with ministries like Brooke and others as they navigate it. Lord, we thank you for that.
Lord, I just ask you to bring your mighty just grace and peace and anointing over any individual person, regardless of type of relationship, but anyone who is facing abuse and hurt at the hands of someone who loves them dearly. Lord, I ask you, and we all come together in agreement, we ask you to seek them, go after them, just like you did for me and so many others. Sometimes that vast space is so great. It's so dark, and they think they no one will ever know their pain. No one will ever be able to reach them. Lord, find a way. Reach out to them. Let them know that they are loved by you, and have them know that they can be comforted with your just grace. Lord, I just pray for anyone who's hurting today that they will reach out to a friend. They will look up, grab your word, Lord, and open up the Bible and just ask for your grace to just heal those wounds, Lord. We just know that you are here with us today, and you are on the move. And Lord, we want to be warriors with you. We want to be soldiers in this kingdom. And we ask you to give us the leadership and the direction and the resources we need to make your light shine and bring these folks out of the darkness.
Yes.
Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Brooke. And we met at a ministry conference where she's ministering to lots of churches and ministries. So reach out to strongerwomen.com.
Yes.
Dr. Brooke Jones, thank you so much, friend. It's so great to meet you and to hang out with you and to just see what God's doing in the ministry.
Thank you so much, Bunny. It's been a pleasure, and we'll look forward to the next time we get back together.
Exactly.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you so much for joining us for this incredible podcast. What a time we've had. We love you so much. We love being in your life. Have you subscribed? Have you shared this with your family and friends? Please subscribe on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, Rumble, wherever you get your audio or video pods. We need your help. This mission is undergirded by individuals just like you that support this ministry monthly, annually, and whenever you think about us, to be able to reach over 1 million Christians in the next 2 years. That's our goal. We want to empower 1 million Christians around America to pray, vote, and engage regularly. Will you help us? We're here to do that, and we need your help. I want to say thank you to our partners at The Stream. What an incredible online publication put out by James Robison and Life Outreach International. As we come together across denominational lines as believers to discern what God's saying about the news of the day and to hear from different viewpoints. Check out The Stream, make it your homepage, and get on their email list. This product is amazing. Also, our partners at Edify App, put out by Christian Post. This podcast app is a convergence of Bible teachers around America. We're excited to be a part of Edify App. Check out all their other podcasts. Thank you so much again for caring about this nation. We're here to help you pray, vote, and engage. We'll see you next week.